The following audio is from North Life Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
The Lord Jesus Christ taught like no one ever taught. And we often call this passage, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the what? Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. Just the hillside in sight of the Sea of Galilee, which is a large lake, the largest freshwater lake in Israel. So they covet that and they protect it. And so the Lord Jesus, 2,000 years ago, taught some very important lessons and truths, the Sermon on the Mount. And we are lifting just a part of the Sermon on the Mount out, and we're dealing with the Beatitudes. I like to entitle this, and this is not original with me, but I'd like to call them the Beatitudes. Would you say that, please? The Beatitudes. You know, I believe God not only saves us so that we might go to heaven one day and avoid hell, but in between the time when we were converted to Christ, I came to Christ as a boy, between the time of conversion and the time in which we will be with the Lord, I believe He wants to make us more like Himself. Amen? It's not just, you see, if He didn't want to make us more like Himself, He would have taken us to heaven immediately after we converted to Christ. But He's always molding us. He's always making us. I've heard it said that the average adult, and probably children too, the average Canadian watches television roughly 30 hours a week. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, there's not quite as many watching now as there used to be because now we have many more gadgets to watch and to follow. But let me say this, if we are watching either by television or on our cell phones or whatever, if we're watching what the world is saying 30 hours a week, there's a danger in that. Thank God for information. Thank God that we can learn many things quickly, but there's a danger if we don't balance that with the truth of God's what? Of God's Word. Believe that? Because we are always being indoctrinated with what the world says is important, is valuable. And if we don't spend time in God's Word, either being in church and listening to it or doing it yourself at home, if we don't spend time in God's Word, we will not sense the true values of God. We will not become what He would have us to be. Therefore, when Jesus taught the Beatitudes, He started like this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed, happy, contented, satisfied are the poor in what? Spirit. Now, the truth of that is, until we realize that we are bankrupt in the sight of a holy God, we will never know the true values of the kingdom of God. In other words, we have to come to some place in our life in which we really know that we need God. Have you arrived there yet? Have you arrived? At somewhere in your life where you know without God we are spiritually bankrupt. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I've come to that position. I trust that you have. That we are in deep need of God. So Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in what? Spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Heaven will not come down to us until we realize that we need heaven. God will not become ours until we realize that we need Him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then the other scripture, the other training or teaching He gave is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted." I believe that's not only mourning over sin, which we must, because God is a holy God, but blessed are those who face loss in life, loss of a dream, loss of a loved one, loss of health. You see, we face losses, don't we? Blessed, Jesus said, are those who mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. The comfort of God supersedes the mourning of God's people. Amen? The scripture says the sufferings that we go through in this life cannot be compared with the glory that one day shall be ours. Amen? The sufferings that we go through, the losses that we go through in this life are insignificant compared to the glory and the advantage of one day being with our Lord. So the Lord said, "Blessed are those who mourn." That's kind of odd because we don't like mourning. But the God of the valley, the God of the mountain is still God in the what? Valleys. And in the valley, he restores our what? Soul. And when we go through hardships and trials and loss, that is when God discovers us and we discover him like no other place. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now let's look at this one today in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. You have it all memorized anyway. Blessed are the meek. Would you say the word meek, please? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now that's huge, isn't it? They shall inherit the what? The earth. Remember the other one said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of what? Of heaven. So really the Lord is trying to teach us, how can we get the best out of heaven and how can we get the best out of earth? How can we get the best from up there and how can we have a life that is fulfilling down here on planet earth? It's not just that I'm going to go to heaven, but the Lord wants to bless me while I'm walking the path down here. So he says here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They shall know a deep satisfaction while they live right here. And one day when they will return to live here, they shall know a blessedness like others who do not know God will never know. I like the word blessed. The word blessed, let me just tell you what it is in Greek. It's makarios. Makarios. And when the Lord says, blessed, 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 makarios, that word. And that word means a deep sense of settledness, a deep sense of satisfaction, a deep sense of fulfillment. Isn't that a beautiful word? It's not just happy. It's something much deeper than that. Makarios. They used to call the island of Cyprus back in Jesus' day. I don't know if they still call it that or not. But the island of Cyprus in the Mediterranean Sea, they used to call it Hemakaria. Hemakaria, which means island of happiness. Island of fulfillment. Cyprus, island of satisfaction. And they used to say back in those days that if you lived on Cyprus with its beautiful climate, isn't it lovely weather today? Did you notice? My land is just, I don't know why people go south, do you? It's just, my wife kind of, she told me this morning, she said, hon, I think it's going to be 7 degrees today or tomorrow. Practically balmy in Fort McMurray, right? And the island of Cyprus, it had tremendous weather, what we would call perfect weather. It had beautiful trees, beautiful flowers. It just seemed to be such a beautiful place that they called it the island of happiness. And the Lord says this, he raises another level. He says, blessed are the meek, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, let's talk about this word meek. Have you ever met a meek person? Are you a meek person? It must be really important to display the character trait of meekness if the Lord says that will bring happiness and you will inherit the earth. So I want to know something of what that trait is of meekness, a meek woman, a meek young person, a meek man. What is it? What is it? And do I possess it? Meekness. Let me tell you just some things the Bible says about meekness. In Numbers chapter 12, it says, now the man Moses was very meek. Here's a man who led 2 or 3 or 4 million people out of Egypt into the wilderness. Now let me say this, it takes a strong person to lead, say, 4 million people. Meekness is not weakness. Sometimes we say, well, he's a very meek person. You know, we say, and what we mean is very quiet, very timid.
Well, that's not what meekness is, you see. Meek people are very courageous people, but there's a trait about them that's very special. Not all meek people are timid, quiet people. Some are, some are not. But it says meekness, Moses, this leader of these people, was at, in his day, the Bible says, the meekest man on earth. Amazing. Meekness. Psalm 22, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. Do you want satisfied? Well, there has to be that trait of meekness within us. Psalm chapter 37, the meek shall inherit the earth. And when Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, he was simply lifting Psalm chapter 37, verse 11, out of the Old Testament and bring it into the New Testament so that he could tell us by the way he lived what that verse really means. You know, the Lord had much of the Old Testament memorized. Jewish boys, Jewish girls, were taught to memorize much of the Old Testament early in life. Of course, he's a Jewish boy, and he was taught. He memorized the Scripture. That's why he used it so often. He mostly used Deuteronomy, but he used many of the Old Testament Scriptures. Psalm 45 says, in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness. Psalm 76, God rose to judgment to save the meek. Psalm 147, the Lord lifts up the meek. Don't you like that phrase? The Lord lifts up the what? Meek. What is meekness then? If it causes God to lift that person. Do you need lifted today? I do. I do. He said he lifts the meek. He lifts the meek. Then it says, Isaiah 29 and verse 19, the meek shall increase their joy in the Lord. If we're lacking the joy of God, it may be we're neglecting this trait of meekness. And we need to reclaim it. Meekness. Isaiah 61:1, remember this? It's, the Lord stood up in the synagogue and he used this verse. Again, he had it memorized. Isaiah chapter 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Unto the meek. It's the meek who can receive the Word of God. Then it says in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, seek the Lord, all the meek of the earth. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek. Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus said, for I am meek. Do we want to be like our Lord? We've got to somehow get a hold of that meek trait. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you because I am meek and lowly in heart. Meekness is not weakness. Our Lord was meek. And he certainly wasn't weak. Then the scripture goes on to say, 1 Corinthians 4, it says, Paul said, shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? Paul said, I don't want to come to you Corinthian Christians who are having your challenges. I don't want to come with hardness. He said, I want to come in meekness to be with you. And I love this next verse, 2 Corinthians 10:1. Paul says, now I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He's saying, please listen to me, because our Lord is meek. Our Lord is gentle. Meekness. Galatians 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken with a fault, you who are spiritual, restore that one with meekness. If you find a brother or sister that has strayed off in paths that they had formerly left, and they wander back again. You know, we do that sometimes, don't we? Sometimes that from which we've been delivered catches us again. It's so strong, it'll pull us, you see, back again. And we all face some of that in life. And the Apostle Paul says here, if we see our brother or sister straying back to that from which they had been previously delivered, he said, restore them. just kind of come alongside, you see? Because we've all been there. It's called backsliding. Now, thank God you cannot backslide unless you slid ahead the first place. And I thank God I slid ahead when the Lord found me. But there's times we are prone to wander, right? And it says here, when we see a brother or sister beginning to wander from that place of fellowship with God. Relationship with God will never change. That's permanent. But the fellowship sometimes gets shaky. Union will be forever, but the communion sometimes lacks. And when we see a believer, fellow brother or sister, beginning to wander, it says, come alongside that person, but come alongside them with meekness. With meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also fall. This term meekness is so important. It's a trait that we need in our lives. James 1 and verse 21. Set aside all filthiness and naughtiness and receive with meekness the word of God. Titus 3, 2. Speak evil of no man. Don't be speaking evil of people. Don't be brawlers, but be gentle. Would you say the word gentle, please? Gentle. That's not cowardly, but it's gentle. But be gentle, it says here, showing all meekness unto all people. James 3 and verse 13, who is a wise man? How can you tell a wise person? Who is wise? James 3:13 says, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among him? Let him show out of a good life his works with meekness of wisdom. Now, you're not like this, but you might know somebody like this. There are some people who seem to want to tell you everything they know all at once. It usually takes a minute or so. It's interesting, isn't it? The meek person knows a whole lot, but they know when to say it. They know a lot about it, quite a lot, but they know when to say it. They're not braggadocious. You know, they're not braggarts. And let me suggest this: when we are in the presence of somebody who has quite a lot of knowledge in a certain area, it's best just to be quiet and listen. Because it's kind of embarrassing when you discover that you only know a little of what they know. It's just they haven't spoken yet. So it says, when we have knowledge of the world, knowledge of ourselves, knowledge of humanity, knowledge of God, you know, we learn things as life goes on. But the meek person knows how to reveal it properly at the right time. Meekness. 1 Peter chapter 3 speaks about the ladies, the wives. And Peter says this, your heart is more important than the outward appearance, Peter says. He says, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. I have a suspicion that's been proven over time that I kind of think the ladies know more than the men. You know, I've been told, whether it's true or not, that women think with both sides of their brains and men are just half-brained. It helps us in emergencies to get something quickly done. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but women seem to have a sense of being able to assess situations, which is a wonderful trait. And it says here, ladies, it's not so much the outward appearance, but it's a meek spirit that is precious in the sight of God. It's what God thinks. Amen. And then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, when we are sharing Christ with others,
And when others who do not yet know our Lord are asking questions, trying to figure this out, it says this, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set the Lord apart as the main person in your life. That's what it means. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason that you have hope. We should never be caught not knowing the answer two times in a row. If we're caught first time, that's okay. But then you start digging to find the answer for the next time they ask it. And it says this, as we respond to people's question who are seeking God, it says we are to respond in the spirit of meekness. Meekness. So the Lord says, blessed are the meek. The version I use says this, God blesses the humble, the meek. It's like he actively blesses them. Well, what is it? What is this matter of meekness? Let me give you a few thoughts here. Wycliffe, who is that Bible translator and reformer, who, by the way, was martyred. Wycliffe, John Wycliffe of another era. He said this term meekness, he says it this way, blessed be mild men. Mild men. Another way of expressing this word meekness is spiritual poise. There's a dignity about that Christian. There's a dignity about, they are like diplomats. They know how to handle themselves. They know when to speak and when to be quiet. They are meek. There's a poise about, they are not losing it. Someone told me this years ago, many years ago. You don't lose the battle till you lose your temper. You don't lose the battle till you lose your temper. And then whether you win or not, they will not remember the winning or not. They will remember we lost our what? We lost our temper. So this word meekness means spiritual poise and strength. I like this one. Meekness is the gentleness of strength. Meekness. I did as staff, as the staff of this church, we meet every Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. And we have good times of planning and thinking and praying and assessing things. And we always, almost always have a leadership lesson. And we've been for quite a few months now talking about traits of leadership. Traits of leadership. And we did invest some time a few weeks ago on this trait of meekness. Let me just give you a few of the things that we discussed. They're not original with us. But a few things. What is this matter of meekness? Meekness is described as controlled strength. I like that. We are strong, either in knowledge or experience. And many of you are. You've been through an enormous amount since the day you said, I do to Jesus. And you have an enormous amount of experience that can be used for good and for God. Even the negative experiences, God can turn that for good. And this matter of meekness is controlled strength. It contains the ideas of humility and self-discipline. Would you say the word humility? Humility, but not just humility. Meekness is humility and self-discipline. That's control, isn't it? That's a good, healthy control. Not out of control, but under God's control. Meekness is the idea of humility and discipline. In the Greek language, this word meekness gives the image of a stallion running out in the wild, in the fields. Can you picture that? We'll call it Black Beauty.
The stallion running out in the fields with strength and energy, running wild. Yet the Greeks tell us this. Meekness is taking that stallion and getting it so it can adjust to a saddle. So that it can be used, you see, for certain purposes. Still strong, still mighty. But now being used for specific purposes. I think that's what God wants to do with us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of what? Of us all. He saves us to change us. He saves us that we might become more like the Lord who died on the cross for us. Amen? And this is the matter here of a stallion that's now been tamed to be able to be used for certain purposes. We are God's, and we are to be used for God's purpose. Therefore, we are to be meek. It's described of a wild animal which, upon being domesticated, was capable of feats of strength, yet very gentle with people. Meekness is demonstrated in a humble reception of God's word. I'm so glad you're here today. Because you are here, and I'm here today too, that we might learn a little more of God's what? Word. Why did you get up this morning? You didn't have to. Why did you come here today? You didn't have to. You're not being paid to do this. By the way, I'm good. I'm paid to be good, and you're good for nothing. You didn't have to be here today. But there's something, God has put something in us, right? That if we can get a little more taste of the truth of this book, we know we will reflect the image of God a little better this week. And it says here, the meek person, oh dear God, the meek person humbles themselves before the word of what? God. Only 14% of born-again Christians read the Bible regularly. Isn't that something? Let's change that percentage in this church. Let's change it. Let's up the percentages. So that this week, you see, as life is busy and life is complicated, it not ought not to be so busy and so complicated that we can't not only be in church, but spend some time reading this book. Just read it. Just read it. Be one of the 14%, and let's in this church up it. Let's go for 20% at least of us that are going to spend some time in this book. You might say, Pastor Les, it's so hard to find. I know it's hard. I'm paid to be good. And it's hard for me. And I know it's difficult. I remember one lady, one mother, you know, trying to raise the children right, you know. Remember one mother said, the only place I can find time to read the Bible and pray is in the furnace room. She found a spot, you know what I mean? Where they couldn't get her. Well, you can find that place where they don't get you. But where you meet with God, even if it's 15 minutes. Even if it's 15 minutes. God can do a whole lot in a little time if you're dedicated to him. Don't worry about the big times, long times. Just those little times dedicated to God. You see, a meek person wants to invest time in the Word of God. I lost my note here. It's a good one. Meekness is an attitude of, I like this. Meekness is an attitude of humility toward God and gentleness toward people. That's a meek person. There's a humility before God. We love him, yet he's our Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be your what? There's a humility. He's so massive. He's so massive. And a meek person is humble before God.
And a meek person is gentle toward people. A meek person knows that God is in control. That's not always easy to believe. Many times we will not know the whys until we're on the other side. But a meek person recognizes God is in control. R.C. Sproul, a Bible scholar, a great teacher. R.C. Sproul said this, meekness is the opposite of abrasiveness. A meek person is approachable. A meek father is approachable by the children. They respect him, but they do not fear him. A meek mother is approachable to their children. They know mom's going to be there. Oh, sometimes the kids are rowdy. But there's something about that mother that is gentle with the children. Let me say this, no matter what our children do or how far they stray, never break relationship with them. Keep some kind of door open, even if it's a crack. Even if it can only be for a while a crack. Keep it open. Keep it open. You see, meekness is a very powerful trait. Humility to God, but gentleness with people. Only God can give us that. Sproul says, meekness is the opposite of abrasiveness. This inner mildness flows from a confident strength that is the antithesis of arrogance. An arrogant person is not a meek person. A proud person is not a meek person. A haughty person is not a meek person. The man who is secure in his love for God, listen to this, the man, woman, who is secure in his love for God does not need to intimidate people. Like, intimidate them. No. The meek person is so secure with God and themselves that they can lead and assist and help people. Not manipulate and not intimidate. That's a meek person. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Meekness is the ability to endure injury with patience and without resentment. Oh, that's a tough one. Meekness is the ability to endure injury without resentment or vengeance. That's when somebody hurts you, and we all will be hurt deeply at times. Somebody said it or did it or betrayed some confidence. That is very difficult. That's very difficult to absorb. But somehow, God can put the spirit of gentleness in your heart so that you cease to try to take vengeance. I cease to try to get even. And it takes time sometimes. But we learn, oh dear God, I don't know why, but it hurt. But Lord, I'm going to not seek vengeance. Scripture says, vengeance belongs to the Lord. I will repay, says Almighty God. There's payday someday for those who don't repent. But that's up to God. That's not to be ours. That's not to hold us back, drag us down. Because God wants us to be meek, humble before God, and gentle with people. Meekness is yielding personal rights and expectations with a desire to serve others. I love that. Set aside our rights to be able to serve others. This is the serving church. Perhaps the greatest trait of this church is serving others. We've experienced it, my wife and I. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Serving others. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the what? They shall inherit the earth. I like what the Message, that's a paratranslation. It's not a literal translation, it just flows a little more easily. And this is what the Message paraphrase of the Bible says,
You are blessed when you are content with just who you are. No more, no less. You see, this meekness is not thinking less of ourselves, it's just thinking of ourselves less. And the message says, it says, you are blessed when you are content with just who you are. No more than you are and no less than we are. It's a contentedness. Meekness is a contentedness. It says you are blessed when you are content with just who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You see, those who love life and inherit the earth, it's like a gift from God, and we enjoy this journey. Oh, it has challenges and trials, but there's a deep contentedness about us, about a meek person. And we know we are blessed by God. We know that we know Him, and we know that He knows us. We inherit the good things of the earth. You show me somebody who goes through this life arrogant, proud, contentious, quarrelsome, hateful. Oh, they go through it. But they don't inherit it. They don't see it as a gift. They don't inherit the earth. I don't know why you've gone through what you've gone through, but God has His ultimate purposes. Stay strong. Stay gentle. Stay humble before God. You will inherit the life that God wants for you to have while you are journeying right here and right now. Then He says this, we shall inherit the earth. How many believe Jesus coming back again one day? Raise your hand. Let me say this. There's something about the kingdom of God. There's some aspects of the kingdom of God we will not enjoy until the King comes. Now, you who are in covenant theology, God bless you. But there's some things about the kingdom of God we can enjoy here and now because Jesus, with his sacrifice and His resurrection, He has invaded this world. And the church is knocking down barriers and it's growing, like our brother said earlier. But there's some aspects of the kingdom, the rule and the reign of Christ, we will not know until the King returns. Then He shall set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. There will come a day in which everyone who enters that kingdom of God when the King returns, everyone shall live a meek life. Humility before our mighty Heavenly Father, and perfect gentleness with each other. No sin, no setback, no sorrow. There's a beautiful day coming. And let me say this, if that is not true, then there's absolutely no understanding of the whys of life. But I believe it to be true. Amen? I believe it to be true. Let me close with this. It's the one who came to this world and died on the cross for our sins and rose the third day and went back to heaven and prays for His people every day. Is He my King? Is He your King? Does He reign in your heart? Like one little booklet used to go around years ago. Little booklet had a little picture of the cross on the throne of my life. Remember that one? Some of you might. It's the idea of, Lord, I don't want you just kind of shoved off in some isolated segment of my being. But Lord, I want you to be King of my life. Rule in my life. Do you want that this week? Do I want that? I want that. So I say, Lord, this is what I do.
I say, if I know it, I'm wandering. I say, Lord, would you just take your rightful place in my life again as my Lord and my King? You know, just here I am, Lord. Pick me up, shake me off, clean me out. Here I am, Lord. Be King of my life. You see, he's not only my Savior, he's my reigning Lord. Is he yours? Father in heaven, thank you for that beautiful truth that you taught us. And God, teach us something this week about being meek, having strength, but having controlled strength. Being humble before you, dear God, and gentle with people. Help us, Lord, to be the teachers and the leaders and the moms and the dads and the grandparents that are approachable, that are not arrogant, not know-it-alls. And oh, God, restrain us, because we do know that when we lose our temper, we've lost the opportunity. So, Lord, you said, come unto me, all you who labor. And we labor today, Lord. We need you to mold us and make us to be more like Christ. So in the busyness and the frustrations, the challenges of this coming week, God, help us to draw close to you. Allow you to be practically on the throne of our hearts so that we would become men and women and young people who are meek, humble, effective, influential in your hands. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Let's stand, please, and we'll worship and conclude with a song.